And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Can I take these off? All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hello there. My name is Bartholomew J. Fancy Cat, but humans have taken to calling me Sprinkles. I am a feline of discerning taste and luxury, and I demand the very best, and I want it delivered to my door. Meowbox is a subscription service that caters to felines like myself and gives us all sorts of new treats to try, toys that entertain, and it even helps fellow animals in rescue shelters. They even personalize it for your cat's name. They still insist on calling me Sprinkles, however. What are you waiting for, human? Promo code GEEK10 and get 10% off your first subscription at meowbox.com. Now go visit meowbox.com for more information and tell them Sprinkles sent you.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to GEICO and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good. And so was hanging out with his grandson.
They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need.
It's Crisis on Infinite Podcasts. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, and you are listening to This Week in Geeks topic show for the month of July in August, because that's how we roll. It's the summertime. We sit in our underwear until 4 o'clock in the morning watching Batman. How's it going? Our show is brought to you by the good folks over at meowbox.com. As you heard at the beginning of the show, go get a subscription. Kitties love that shit. I'm also joined on this Crisis on Infinite Earths with
Andrew Roebuck, who needs to get a new nickname because I can't keep going by a dumb nickname. Anyways.
You've been Roebuck.
What the hell was that?
And of course, we have Twig's residence. I don't know. What is Ryan the resident of, Andrew?
Psychopath? A resident psychopath?
I don't know. Look at that.
I don't know, Ryan. I wouldn't want to mess with you in a dark alley. I'm just saying.
I've been accused of various things over the years, especially recently, and none of those substantiated, but murder's not one of them.
That they could prove.
Sure. Anyway.
So, yes, we are joined by Ryan, the Uneven Flow, which I remember when you had to ask me what was your old nickname, because it had been so long.
Yeah, it was only a few weeks ago. It wasn't like it was that long ago.
It seems, you know what? This summer seems like it is just not ending, which is kind of a good thing. It's kind of nice to have that lazy summer feel again for a change.
But anyway, so yes, guys, we are here for the topic show for the month of July. We're going to be talking about the DC Animated Universe, the television shows, the movies. There's even some video games based on this stuff. And some good things to say, and even some questioning things to ask about it, as in where it's going, where it's been, and why certain stories haven't been adapted yet. So I guess as we often do, we always kind of talk around what everyone's been doing over the last few weeks. I myself had just finished attending Con Bravo in Hamilton, Ontario. Very, very successful year. Got a chance to work with Andre Meadows, aka the Black Nerd. We did a really awesome panel on the Ninja Turtles property. Could have easily gone 2 hours, but we only had an hour, and we threw a pizza party for people, and then we got Andre to stand up and do a rendition of the ninja rap to wrap up the panel, which was a lot of fun. Also did a panel with Terrible Warriors talking about role-playing, and finally worked with Louis Linkara, Love Hog, on the Marvel Cinematic Universe and offered our thoughts up on that, and that's what I've been doing. So, Andrew, what about you? What have you been doing over the last month or so?
Call center.
Yes, yes. I'm working at a backbreaking call center, making sure people get drunk.
I'm very important drunk
to the world. Anyways, yes, I just recently moved to Ottawa, and I'm just, getting all comfy and hanging out.
Ryan and not responding to his text messages.
I definitely have responded to all the text messages I've received.
You need to hang out with Ryan, goddammit, because if I can't, you should.
I do. Let's see.
He's full of shit, isn't he, Ryan?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ryan's fairly indifferent to this scenario, though. So.
Good times. And Ryan, what about you? What have you been up to?
Nothing. It's the dead season at my work, and it's been great. I've been catching up on video games, reading. I just recently reread all of John Scalzi's Old Man's War series in advance of the book being released tomorrow. And, man, not a whole lot else. Catching up on video games and stuff, like I said. Actually finishing stuff that I got to the end of and just never got around to completing.
What are you playing right now?
Nothing at the moment. Downloaded something, as you already know, but it's in advance and don't know if it's unlocked yet. And I'm eagerly awaiting Mad Max on September 1st as well. Hopefully I'll get an advance on that. And, oh yes, and then tomorrow's important work, which is watching the digital copy of Fury Road every moment.
I have yet to see Fury Road, but hopefully I'll have my review copy when it comes out on Blu-ray in just a few weeks. Looking forward to it, though, because like I said, I've heard a lot of really good things about it, especially from you, Ryan, so I hope it lives up to the hype.
I haven't said anything good about it. What are you talking about?
Speaking of video games, I found myself recently replaying Skyrim, because I'm probably going to do a Terrible Warriors adventure set in the world of Tamriel.
Ooh, that and sounds fun.
I've discovered that game makes you nothing but hungry. Because my character walks around with about 20 cheese wheels at any given time. And I just picture my guy fighting these huge dragons, scarfing cheese in his face while being caught on fire.
And never being able to go to the washroom.
It's amazing. Yeah, my character is the most bunged up character in all of Skyrim.
Maybe there's a dragon shout for that.
from High Hrothgar, they can hear me going, as they try and squeeze it out. My God, that went to a dark place. On that note, we're going to take a small break here on This Week in Geek, discussing Skyrim's bowel movements. But before we do, here are just the facts on the DC Animated Universe.
The modern era of DC Animated Productions essentially started out with the DC Animated Universe's debut on September 5th, 1992. That was the date when Batman the Animated Series first appeared. That particular universe and its continuity would run on television for 14 years, finally ending with Justice League Unlimited. Now, during that run of DC Animated Universe continuity, we saw shows like Superman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Static Shock, The Zeta Project, and Justice League. The DCAU would also spawn 4 films and contains, to date, the only modern animated comic book adaptation from Marvel or DC to see a release in theaters. The DCAU productions would also spawn some web series and then their own comic books, which kind of completed the cycle as they were based on comic book properties originally anyway. The shows received enough attention that they ended up influencing the comic books they came from. Examples of the influence of DCAU's work would include, well, the character of Harley Quinn, Rene Montoya, changes to Mr. Freeze's pre-New 52 origins, and then the addition of Terry McGinnis to the Bat family. While the DCAU continuity is still going via comic books, DC animated productions moved towards more modern stories and more modern versions of their characters after the conclusion of Justice League Unlimited. Now, starting in 2007 with Superman Doomsday, DC began making animated adaptations of some of their best-known stories from their comic books. The newer films would begin to depart from the iconic animation style that was featured in the DCAU, and would also see celebrities playing the main cast of characters, rather than the voice actors that were used in the various television series for years. Further away from the DC Animated Universe style was a pair of computer-generated shows more recently, Beware the Batman and Green Lantern the Animated Series. Now, there were a number of standard animated series that were not set in the DCAU. Teen Titans, Crypto the Superdog, The Batman, Legion of Superheroes, Batman the Brave and the Bold, and Young Justice, which unfortunately was also canceled before its time. The animated films attempted to tie into their live-action big-screen counterparts with Batman Gotham Knights. Now, that was released in 2008 as an anthology set, and it was placed in Christopher Nolan film series continuity. Also recently, Batman Assault on Arkham would be the first of the animated films to be set in a video game continuity. And, well, that's of course the Arkham series of Batman games. Now, the continuation of DC animated work through films is going on to this day, with the Justice League Gods and Monsters really recently being released, as well as the announcement of some upcoming works, such as the adaptation of The Killing Joke, originally written by Alan Moore. Frank Miller, Grant Morrison, and Jeff Johns are other writers that are frequently targeted for having their works converted to animation. And I expect in the future their comics will continue to be adapted by DC in the years to come. After all these years, since 1992 now, the DC animated works seem to show absolutely no signs of stopping.
Thank you, Ryan, for that wonderful Just the Facts. I love the DC animated universe, and you really gave a really good overview of the entire franchise, so thanks for that.
I gave a really quick overview of the entire franchise. There's like 3 hours worth. Earlier versions of the Just the Facts were significantly longer.
Were their own podcast?
Yeah, basically. I mean, there have been a lot of shows, and there's a lot to say about them.
Which is, you know what? It's funny. I remember getting into the DCA. I remember when Fox Kids was advertising Batman, the animated series. It's like, tune in on September whatever, and you'll see this new Batman show. And I remember they were advertising it on the Saturday mornings. And because I had a Fox affiliate that would, like, rebroadcast things, I'd always get to see those bumpers all the time. And I remember my parents watching it with me, too, which I found yep. really, really, really weird because my parents are old and stupid. but no, it was so strange. Just the fact that that show took itself just the right amount of serious that it didn't talk down the kids. And it was unlike anything I had ever seen, because at that point the only superhero show I'd seen from DC was Super Friends Challenge of the Super Friends,
which was super serious,
and that's all I can remember is just Super Friends and Challenge of the Super Friends. I don't think there was any other series before that, were there?
No, but I think there's more, like, I think there's more versions and names for the Super Friends, but, like, well,
there was earlier stuff. Like, there's the original, like, Superman shorts and that kind of thing, which, by the way, the animation and everything on that holds up really well.
I love
today's standards.
They definitely do.
So, I guess let's kind of start things off, then, with our memories of the DCAU. Where does it start for you guys? Like I said, mine started with the early Fox Kids stuff, and then I kind of tapered off as things fell into the Adventures of Superman, which I wouldn't discover again until college, because when I was in college, I was really into Smallville, and there was a local pawn shop, or sort of like a used DVD store. and I was able to pick up three seasons of the Superman animated series. I think there's only three or four. And I think I picked them up for $10 a piece.
Nice.
Which was ridiculous. And then I got back into Batman because at this point in time, Blockbuster was starting to go out of business. So they started having all these sales. You could see the beginning of the end was definitely coming. And I was able to pick up the Batman Complete series. I think I paid $60 for it. And I hear it's ludicrously out of print, that original set that was in the black kind of slipcase. And it's evidently worth a bit now. So I bought it mostly to piss someone off, actually. My friend Pierce is this huge Batman fan. And he's like, oh, man, I wish I could get that. They're going, well, fine, fuck you. I'll get it. and then he goes back to get it the next day, and it's not there because it was the only copy that was shipped out to that store. So a few months later, I remember looking it up on eBay, and it was going for $200-$300, wow. Which is insane. Now you can get the series at a considerable cheaper price. But at that time, I found that was absolutely nuts. I think they did a Superman one, too, but I'm not sure.
You can sort of get it at a cheaper price. You basically got to buy the individual sets, though. The actual, like, complete animated series sets are still going for ridiculous amounts because Warner hasn't been reprinting them. They printed a decent number of those original volume sets, but not a huge amount either. So they're starting to disappear from places. And Warner's being Warner's, they don't seem to show many signs of opening the vault or anything like that. They did the same thing with Batman Beyond as well. There was a big, like, complete series set, and now that's super hard to find. You can find the individual ones.
Yeah. But
it doesn't have the same extras and missing certain things, so.
Yeah, I got lucky, and probably about a year ago, Amazon had, like, a sale on the Batman Beyond, like, the whole collection set. And I managed to snag that for really cheap. And now when you're looking at it now, it goes for like 200 plus like on Amazon.
Which,
like,
sucks, whoa. Because that's the one series I wish I'd bought.
Oh, it's so good.
Because Batman Beyond, I discovered that, I think it was either last summer or two summers ago. I watched it when I hit this really bad bit of depression, and I watched the entire series over the course of like 2 weeks.
Nice.
My God, is that series so fucking awesome.
It was great, I've got the box set of that, Justice League, Batman, number of them. So, yeah, I think for me, I started with Batman, the animated series. I was a kid, and I can't even remember when I would see it. It would basically just be on television on occasion when I was in between places. I mean, the place I lived, I only had antenna, that kind of thing, so it wasn't showing there. I think I only saw it at like my grandmother's, who had cable, that kind of thing. So watched that. Watched some of Superman the animated series. I don't think I would see every episode of that until much, much later in my life. Justice League, though, I caught the majority of on television, and like I said, I got the box set now anyway. And yeah, I've seen all the others either on television or online. A lot of them are on Netflix and other services as well, too, which makes it easy to watch.
Which, it's weird because when it comes to some of the digital services, you can see Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, but you only get the first season of Batman. But I think you get – this is Canadian Netflix, I think.
Oh, I don't know about the Canadian one. The American one definitely had all of Batman, the animated series, for some time. I don't know if it's still there.
I don't think so because I'm pretty sure because I've got both. I access them through VPN, and I'm pretty sure only the first season is there. But they do have the movies, though, or at least they had Mystery of the Batwoman for sure. I don't think they had Mask of the Phantasm. Which, that's another thing for us to kind of talk about, too. Do you guys remember when that came out in theaters?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Burger King had a huge tie-in for that, if I'm not mistaken. And that's the one Batman movie I never saw in theaters, and I'm kicking myself in the ass.
I didn't see it in theaters. My brother actually rented it on VHS, and I still remember seeing that exceptionally well. And just, yeah, really good film. Still really good. One of the best Batman movies. It's funny, the DC Animated Universe films have two of the best Batman movies, and they're not necessarily the ones you'd expect. There's Mask of the Phantasm, which for a long time was a really good sort of Batman Year One animated film. Not an adaptation of the Frank Miller one, but I mean, as in, it showed the early days of the animated series Batman. And then the other one that really sticks out for me is Return of the Joker, which was the 2000 Batman Beyond film, yes. which a lot of people will tell you still might be the best Batman film, period.
Yeah.
It's really good, especially if you can get the unedited version, which kind of makes more sense.
Yeah.
A fan actually bought that for me for my birthday, I think about a year or two ago.
That's awesome.
And I was so surprised just how cool that was, because I knew there was a Batman Beyond movie, but I couldn't find it for whatever reason. But I really, really liked it. And it's weird, because I thought the idea behind Batman Beyond was kind of stupid at first.
It was. Even Paul Dini's admitted, and some of the other people that worked on it, they thought it was going to be terrible. I mean, they heard the idea, they were told what they were supposed to do, and they thought, well, this is going to be crap, basically. And they managed to do a really good job with it, unexpectedly.
Like, yeah, it's one of those things where if you take the right risk with a property, sometimes it pays off amazingly well.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll kind of move into our first subsection here. We're going to talk about the TV series. And obviously the first big one is Batman, the animated series, which I think premiered in what, Ryan? It was 92, you said?
92.
And it took... That series had such a unique look to it, because you could never pin down when the series happened. Was it happening in the past? Was it happening in the future? Because there were computers, yet people still wore fedoras and everything. It had this really unique art style to it.
Yeah, for sure. It was very much like a gothic portrayal of like a modern gothic tale. It took a lot from the 89 movie, too. Like, it used elements of that and then used elements of the comics and melded them together in like a really tight, awesome story.
Now, one of the neat things about that kind of came out of the 92 series is you would have Kevin Conroy, who pretty much is the perfect Batman in a lot of ways, although there are some things where his voice, excuse me, doesn't necessarily fit, and I'll explain that a little bit later.
What are you saying?
See, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll just explain it now just as a kind of talking point. When you look at how Kevin Conroy portrays Batman in Arkham, Arkham Knight. There's some of it, it just feels a little odd at times to hear some of those lines coming out of Conroy.
I also feel like maybe Arkham Knight wasn't the best as far as script goes, so I wouldn't blame Conroy for all of that.
Yeah, like, I'll definitely say that. I mean, I love Arkham Knight. I think it's a fantastic game. It's got problems, but it's probably... I think they could have finished out the Arkham series a little bit bigger if they wanted to. But I digress. Mark Hamill as the Joker is pretty much everyone's favorite Joker, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we got other characters that were introduced, like Harley Quinn was introduced. They kind of fixed the Mr. Freeze establishment.
They completely changed, Mr. Freeze's entire backstory. The other big one was Renee Montoya. And Montoya would eventually play a much bigger role in DC, starting with the excellent Gotham Central series from Greg Rucka.
Yeah, like, it really did change quite a bit, and I was really amazed to find out, because growing up, I just had always assumed that Mr. Freeze was like the animated series portrayed it, which, like, that is my favorite episode of the original animated series.
Probably. Heart of Ice?
Heart of Ice is such a perfect episode, and, like, I just thought that was how he was in the comics and how he had been for years, and to find out how dramatically they changed it was like, whoa, that's awesome.
One of my favorite episodes, I can't remember the name of it, but I think it was called Almost Got Him.
Almost Got Him, yes. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, it's another one most people point to.
So what the outlay is for the episode is, it's got all the villains of Gotham. They're all sitting around playing poker one night, and they're all exchanging stories how they almost got Batman. And there's one line out of Killer Croc.
I know what you're going to say.
I threw a rock at him. And I threw a rock at him. Good story, Croc, old boy. I love that bit. And, you know, it was the animated series also that made me appreciate some of the lesser villains in Batman's Rogues Gallery, because I always thought the Penguin sucked, like, because I'd watched the, like, 66 Batman, and As much as I love Burgess Meredith, quack, 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 you know, fucking stupid. But you had the anime series portray him as this really smart, cunning villain who, sure, he may not be a match for Batman physically, but goddamn, is he smart and he thinks ahead.
I don't think Two-Face would be anywhere near the prominence that he would have without the animated series as well. I don't think there's any way they use him in Batman Forever or anything. And to be fair, I mean, Batman Forever could have pretty much ruined the character because that was not a good movie. But yeah, he was excellent on the animated series, and they tinkered a bit with him to the point that his origin story matches, or it's a lot closer to Batman the Animated Series than it was to the original comics way back when, and they kind of bounced in between them. But yeah, he was another one that really stood out, and part of that too was great voice acting for him. And that's one of the things too that you mentioned, a lot of the great characters, well, a lot of why they were great was the voice acting and the casting for the Batman the Animated Series, and then the rest of the, they call it, you know, DC animated universe, or some people call it the Tim verse or whatever. The casting overall was fantastic.
Yeah. I think like Andrea Romano was the lady who did all the casting, and like they always talk about like how amazing she was at her job and like how she always got like the perfect people for the part.
Well, it's weird because that's the only person I can think of who has a behind the scenes job like that whose name I instantly recognize.
It's
that's
true,
how
yeah.
much of an impact she's had.
Well, the other one would be Susan Blue.
Oh, right. RC, right?
She also organizes pretty much all the voice casts for a lot of other shows. Basically, those are the two best known ones. But yeah, they both do such a fantastic job. And I mean, as we kind of transition maybe a bit away from the DC animated universe, one of the major criticisms I have for the DC animated films that, you know, the DCAU ended with Justice League Unlimited in 2006. And mm-hmm. since then, they've done individual movies. They've had a couple of TV shows, too, by the way. Young Justice, by the way, fantastic. But anyway, the animated movies, the biggest criticism I have for them is they're having a huge problem deciding what they want from voices. They use a lot of celebrities for voiceover work. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. And one of the biggest issues I have with all of them is the impressions. They have a tendency to hire somebody to do the Joker who isn't Mark Hamill, and then they have them do a Mark Hamill impression, and it usually just doesn't come out all that well. Like, if you're going to hire Troy Baker, have him do his own version of the Joker. Don't say, all right, we want Mark Hamill light. Well, if you're going to do that, just hire Mark Hamill again. And one of the first movies I can remember where somebody actually tried something different was Under the Red Hood, when John DiMaggio did the Joker, and he did a completely different one. And it was actually really neat to hear somebody else's take on the character. But since then, they've fallen back into that pit that they have everybody kind of voice Hamill Joker light, exception being The Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and 2, obviously.
And that was Michael Emerson, I think, right?
Yeah, who did a great job.
And yeah, I think Dark Knight Returns is like the pinnacle of the entire, of the animated movies, at least, I would say. I really enjoy a lot of the animated movies. There's only a few that I don't like, but I definitely can see what you're saying about the voice acting.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely go a little bit more in depth about that as we get further in the show. Moving on to Superman, the animated series. I really like the guy they got for Superman. I think his name is Tim Daly.
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that the lead guy from Wings? That, like, really early 90s sitcom about the two brothers owning the, like, airport? And I want to say he was in Grey's Anatomy or something. Which, because I remember I was watching TV with Blair. I was reading something. And I perked up, like, Superman? Because I heard the voice.
Nice.
But, yeah, I mean, Superman, the animated series, I don't think it had as big an impact as Batman the Animated Series, but it made Superman cool again.
For me, it was actually probably it was what I grew up with, because when I was coming up the age when I could be kind of like competently watching superhero cartoons, I much more got introduced to the whole DC animated universe from Batman the Animated Series Superman the Animated Series as opposed to Batman the Animated Series. And then like I kind of like hopped on Batman after watching so much of the Superman animated series. So it was important to me. So,
but I will say, once again, looking at some of the voice cast for the Superman series, I cannot picture anybody but Clancy Brown.
I was going to bring that up too.
So perfect
voice. I'd also argue Dana Delaney did a great job as Lois Lane as well.
Yep.
And yeah, just more great work. And yeah, Clancy Brown would be Lex Luthor on most, all of Justice League as well. He'd reprise the role. And yeah, he's just fantastic.
And I'd say my favorite one to come out of all that, surprisingly, Michael Ironside as Darkseid.
Oh,
I love Michael Ironside's work. I love that voice of his.
Yeah.
Such authority and such menace when he wants to.
They all have such great voices. I think, like, my favorite episode from that show was actually when they did the crossover with Batman and, like, the Batman-Superman movie as it was later released. Because, like, I think that episode perfectly represents the two characters interacting and does it in a way that I haven't seen better ever.
One of the weirder things that I never even thought about from Batman – or sorry, not from Batman, from Superman – is I never pictured Brad Garrett as fucking Lobo. But can you picture anybody else doing him?
Lobo is so good in that
I
show.
I love him. The main man.
The main man.
Another one that I'm actually just kind of reading about this one now is William H. Macy did a guest voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Who is he?
He was the director of the Paranormals Institute. We also had Gilbert Godfrey as Mr. Mizzlepitnick.
Of course, because that, like, super fits the character.
It really does. Once again, I can't picture anybody but Gilbert Godfrey screaming at him. Malcolm McDowell as Metallo, yet another one that I really love. I love it whenever he does voice work, too.
I love Metallo. Even though in the animated series he's basically just the Terminator, he is still awesome.
And then finally, Michael Dorn. He got to play John Henry slash Steel.
Oh, yeah.
So fucking Worf, man, represent. Like, this series had such good casting with it. And I'm pretty sure another unusual one to mention is I had no idea Melissa Joan Hart was a voice.
Who was she?
She was Saturn Girl.
Ooh.
And Jason Priestley. So 90210, if I'm not mistaken. Figure that one out, guys. But I don't remember a whole hell of a lot. Like, I do remember episodes with Metallo and Darkseid, but I can't remember any one that sticks out in my mind.
There's worth noting that it helped expand the animated universe because it brought in the Flash. There was that Flash episode where him and Superman race around the world and fight the weather wizard, which was, like, really fun.
Was it Michael Rosenbaum doing the voice then?
Oh, I believe so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember which Flash it was. Rosenbaum voiced Wally West in Justice League and then Justice League Unlimited.
It was Wally? I thought it was Barry.
No, it's Wally. Wally. Oh, yeah, okay. It's Wally on those two series, which is one of the reasons why, comic book-wise, going back a bit, I was really pissed with Geoff Johns for a while because, of course, one of the first things he did was, A, he got rid of Jon Stewart and Kyle Rayner as the main Green Lanterns, although that turned out okay. What didn't turn out so okay was one of the first things he did is get rid of the Flashes and focus on Barry Allen, who they brought back. And at the time, I don't know, for a lot of people, it was kind of a slap in the face because we grew up with Wally West and some of the others. Barry Allen was dead before I was born, basically. So, yeah.
So
thanks,
that.
Jeff. No, I mean, since then it's gone over okay, and obviously Barry Allen's in the main, like, Flash TV series now, which is great. Although Wally West, I guess, is in the next season, so we'll see. Anyway, back to animated stuff.
What's the next series that
Batman Beyond, which we already kind of touched on?
Sorry, I just want to bring the theme.
One of the things that I absolutely love about the Batman about Batman Beyond, it's the animation style.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's something I love how it's this cyberpunkish look to the future. And there's this couple seconds during the opening animation where it shows Batman doing all these flips and kicks. And then it shows, like, the text flashing over him and whatnot. And then it randomly cuts this, I think, that girl he has a crush on dancing.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I just love, I have that as an animated GIF on my computer just because I really like the way that looks. I just think it looks really cool. But I like how they updated so many different characters, how there was the Joker's gang and whatnot. There was the new version of the Royal Flush Gang, stuff like that.
The episodes with Mr. Freeze, for example, with Mr. Freeze was fantastic and finally put a coda on his story. Because, I mean, it was basically the sequel to Batman. Sub-Zero. Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero film. And that was, it was a really good episode. And I liked that mix that they had references and then they actually had some of Batman's villains, like Bane appeared, et cetera, et cetera.
I like some of their new villains, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They had this mix of the older ones, but then they also established a fair number of really good new ones. I really liked Ink.
Ink is my favorite. I love the way she looked.
Yeah, she was almost an update of Clayface to a certain extent, but yeah. Worked really well.
Didn't they actually kill her, if I'm not mistaken?
No, her last appearance was in she was caught in the episode of the Justice League, which served as the finale to Batman Beyond in a weird sort of scenario.
Oh, right. That's a really good episode.
Well, they thought Justice League was canceled, and they decided, well, hell with it. We're going to do the Batman Beyond finale we never got to do. And it was meant as sort of a coda with the idea of there always has to be a Batman to the series. But then they got picked up for Justice League Unlimited, so it just ended up being another finale. But it was a really good episode.
Other things that I thought Batman Beyond did right is the soundtrack.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good music in that. Like I said, I love the intro and even all the incidental music. I cannot think of anything that was particularly boring or bad about it. Just everything. It really created a very immersive experience. Like, I haven't had a cartoon show suck me in like that since Batman the Animated Series, but this one did it for me actually a little bit more in some ways. And having the Batman himself, I think it was he's the guy from Boy Meets World, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't expect the performance out of him that I got. And he does a lot of big voice work now, and I'm really, really impressed.
He does a great job of differentiating his age, which is something, too, that needs to be commented about Conroy. Conroy's basically been Batman forever, and to be blunt, it's essentially his... why can I hear myself?
Putting my headphones back in, my bad.
You're a bad person.
I'm muting myself.
Continue.
Conroy has been Batman now forever, and in essence, it's really his only major voice work. That's really the only character he can be, especially at this point. And it was interesting because in Batman Beyond, though, he's got to actually play an older, basically emaciated to a certain extent, Bruce Wayne. And it was some really good voice work because, I mean, he had to age his own character, but not necessarily be, you know, age himself. And one of the best episodes of Batman Beyond was Out of the Past, which is, again, it's another one of Batman's villains, Ra's al Ghul, and subsequently Talia al Ghul. And it's sort of the end to their story from Batman, the animated series. And he got to be a young Bruce Wayne temporarily. And it was neat because his voice actually kind of changed at the same time as well. And, yeah, I mean, you know, he's really only played the one character for decades now, but he does a great job at it. And he doesn't necessarily get the credits he deserves for having that variance and that kind of thing. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily fit every situation, but I don't know. Like, I can't hear Kevin Conroy's Batman cursing or anything like that. Like, that's an issue, but more on that in a bit.
Yeah. So I guess we'll move forward into
Static Shock.
Woo. Static Shock. Yeah. I remember this being heavily advertised on the Kids WB next to Pokemon.
Yeah, back Kids WB.
Back in the day. I didn't see a lot of this show, unfortunately, but I know what the character is. So why don't you guys tell me a little bit more about Static Shock?
Phil Lamar. No, I mean.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It was a good show. I mean, it was kind of the it's all about Virgil Hawkins, and yeah, he becomes Static when he gets exposed to a mutagen gas, which the Ninja Turtles, I'm sure, can appreciate. But I mean, I don't know. It was a solid show, and I think the idea behind it originally was to be more of a preteen audience versus Batman Beyond, which I thought was probably for people a little older. And I don't know, it was a good series. And yeah, it was probably one of the first shows I can remember that DC canned because of low merchandise sales. And unfortunately, when we go through the rest of the TV shows, especially Young Justice, that's a recurring theme that they're not happy with the ratings being high. They actually look at these shows to sell things. And so it's surprising when stuff like Static Shock and Batman Beyond were really good, because DC thought, like, hey, we'll just use this to market stuff. But I don't know. They both were similar, though. I mean, Static was about a high school kid who, you know, becomes a superhero. He's got to balance his life versus becoming, you know, a hero. And similar sort of beats. It was still a good show. It just, I don't know. I don't remember it as well as I remembered Batman Beyond.
I watched quite a bit of that, of Static Shock. I really liked it, and I could relate to the characters a lot more, because I was really the target audience when the show came out. So, like,
I said preteens, not born yet.
Anyways.
Moving on. Keep going.
I like the show. I thought
saying it was a bad show or anything. I'm just saying I don't remember it quite as well. Like, it ran in the same era. It ran for 52 episodes, you know, starting in 2000. So, I mean, it ran longer than Batman Beyond. It's just, for whatever reason, it just seems like, you know, Batman Beyond was around more, even though it was only 3 years, but
I did like how they incorporated Static Shock into their later shows, because they had him, like, there was a Justice League crossover episode, but then he also appeared on the future Justice League in, I think it was still Justice League, or was that Justice League Unlimited? I think it might have been Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember, but yeah, exactly, the past, the future, past and future tense, I think was the name of the episode. Anyway, yeah, it was a two-parter. Not to mention Batman Beyond. Terry McGinnis showed up again in that. But yeah,
did it ever really get a good home video release? Like, because I haven't been able to find any other than like 3-4 episode collections.
That's a good question. I don't know that it was ever fully released on DVD or anything.
Another show has a similar problem, which is the Zeta Project.
Zeta Project, which is the next show we'll get to. But yeah, it hasn't been. Zeta didn't even show up in the Once and Future thing.
No, which I was
crossover
sad.
Either. But yeah.
Because I love Zeta Project. That's like my jam.
Zeta Project was a spinoff of a single episode of Batman Beyond. And it ran from 2001-2002. And just didn't catch on, unfortunately. It was another good show, very stylized. It was created by a completely different team than, you know, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, and everybody.
Yeah, and it was fun. Does Zeta have like a comic book like counterpart, or like is there any comic thing that ever even references the character?
No, not that I remember. He's shown up in terms of. Continuation of the DC animated universe. I mentioned that in the Just the Facts. One of the series is Batman Beyond, and eventually it kind of became Batman Beyond Universe, or I can't remember the name of it, damn it. But anyway.
Before they put stupid Tim Drake in the role. Or
there's mention of that in there, at least. So, yeah. There is a continuation a bit. But, yeah, there's not much of it. It was Zeta and Ro. And Zeta was a robot created, you know, to be bad, essentially. And yeah, he's trying to figure out his origin and find his creator to basically like prove that he's not a bad guy.
He's like a smart Johnny Five that looks like the Terminator. Like, come on. How did not everyone watch this all the time?
Yeah, it was a good show. Got 2 seasons and 26 episodes. That's not horrible. But yeah, it just, I don't think it's ever been released, period, on anything.
I don't think
only
so.
Only the first season is. I have the first season. But that makes me even more mad that they never bothered to release season two. So the season one has a home video release, but not season two, which is
Well, we get into one of the juggernauts next with Justice League, which was a fantastic series. And it ran at the same time as one, or not at the same time, but near the end, would be the debut of Teen Titans, which was another solid series that I didn't expect anything from. Now, Teen Titans is one of the first ones that we've brought up that wasn't part of the DC animated universe. So there's that.
Yeah, Teen Titans is good. Teen Titans had a lot of like really cool episodes, and I get sad because like Teen Titans has versions of the characters that like aren't well represented as much in the comics. Like I like Starfire in Teen Titans way more than I like the weird hypersexualized Starfire that's like, and I'm like, I wish that character was just like translated into the actual comics because she's so much more interesting.
Tara's another one too. In that series much more than the comic books. Surprisingly good show that has seen a piece of crap revival that I'm just not. I'm not a fan of Teen Titans Go, and I don't know. It just got whatever. They lost whatever seriousness they had, and I know it was mostly a fun show, but man, like Ron Perlman's absolutely brilliant Slade voice and his work on the show and the way the character was written on the show kind of made that series.
It's true.
And yeah, they seem to have kind of dumped all of that to make it more jokey and a lot more random.
And to sell things, basically. Like, it just feels like an advertisement now. For toys, like, oh, look, toys are funny now. Oh, buy them, please. Please buy all our toys.
Yeah, and that's something that Teen Titans had in common with Justice League. Justice League had, you know, for obvious reasons, a number of toys marketed from it, but it didn't feel like marketing at all. And the same with the rest of the, you know, Timverse, DCAU, amazing voice cast, a lot of them from different shows, obviously. But, I mean, just... Yeah, great. I mean, Phil LaMarr was Jon Stewart. He did an amazing job. We already hit on Michael Rosenbaum. You know, villains are all from different animated series that came before for the most part. And then, you know, bringing back Kevin Conroy. Susan Eisenberg, by the way, amazing Wonder Woman.
Yeah, like, it's a better shared universe than Marvel has cinematically, I think. Or, like, has ever been done in a non-comic book format.
Well, there's something I actually kind of want to talk about. Why has Marvel never been able to replicate this? Because Marvel had a bunch of really good shows, and they were connected, but they dropped the ball. Because with Marvel, you had the X-Men animated series, Spider-Man happened in that universe, and then Spider-Man Unlimited also happened in that universe.
Oh, please, never mention Spider-Man Unlimited.
Yeah, that was one of the problems. I mean, part of it is Marvel, A, didn't want to put in a lot of money, especially the later seasons of X-Men kind of point to that. The animation and everything took a huge downturn, and they couldn't do certain storylines and that kind of thing. I thought you were going to go more recent with that. I mean, the more recent issues have been, they cancel good shows.
Yeah,
because just to relaunch them. I mean, Avengers Assemble is
inferior.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, what the hell was the earlier Avengers?
Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
There we go. I kept thinking EMH, and I'm like, no, that was the guy in Voyager. Anyway, no, Earth's Mightiest Heroes was fantastic, and then we've got Spider-Man, which. I haven't been able to give the new one a fair shake at all I really liked Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, Josh Keaton was amazing.
Spectacular Spider-Man is the best of the animated series by far.
And so, yeah, those two shows you know, and then the other great Marvel show. I loved Wolverine and the X-Men.
And the X-Men, yes!
And it was getting so good, especially in the, like, later bit, and then they cancel it. Like, gee, thanks.
And, like, I feel, though, like, in more recent years, DC's having similar problems with their animated stuff. Because Young Justice was amazing, but it only lasted 2 seasons. I really liked Batman Brave and the Bold. It didn't last long.
See, I hated that one.
Oh, I love that one. But the Batman, well, the Batman had a fair shake. But like,
yeah, it got a good number of years. I think it got 6 years. It was fairly good. Or sorry, it got 4 years. It expanded the universe in the later years, though. The majority of the Justice League showed up in the last few seasons. And it wasn't bad. It was.
I really liked the Batman versus Dracula movie that came out of it, too.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be when I first heard about it. I thought, but yeah, and I mean, they've had other shows since then too, as well. Green Lantern, the animated series, which was the CGI one, it wasn't great. It started out really poorly, I thought, and improved. And then Beware the Batman, which was pretty solid as well.
I really liked Beware the Batman, and I was really just disappointed that like that one got canned. That one got like a really crappy canning too, because like the remainder of the episode, like it aired for like, I think it was like what, 12 episodes, and then there was like a hiatus of like 4 to 5 months, and then everything got dumped in the middle of the night.
Yeah, they dumped the rest at like just ridiculous times, that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, none of the animated shows from DC, it seems like, I mean, aside from the Batman, got a fair shake after Justice League Unlimited, and I mean that ended in 2006.
I don't know why they just didn't keep going with that. Like, there are so many avenues. I don't know why they just destroyed the shared universe concept there.
It was highly rated that was one thing. And then just apparently, I mean, supposedly it was just they wanted to restart and they wanted something that was going to sell more toys. And that seems to be... It's weird because with the animated films, they've gone away from stuff to sell toys because the animated movies are aimed at a older audience, so it's not necessarily to move merchandise. But they don't seem to want to do that with the shows. They're not interested in creating a show just for the sake of getting ratings. That seems to be what they're doing with the, you know, you talk about you want a shared universe. Well, Arrow, Flash, you know, Legends of Tomorrow, everything else. They're doing it with live action. But yeah, in terms of the television stuff, I don't know if they're going to do it again, and I don't know why. Marvel's trying to do it, by the way, because, I mean, the new Spider-Man crosses over with Avengers Assemble once in a while, and they have characters show up on the other one. But yeah, it just the series aren't as good, to be honest, as you know, the old ones. I mean, Justice League Unlimited... I don't know if it's for my money, it's between that and Batman Beyond for what were the best series in terms of overall work. I mean, Batman the Animated Series was fantastic, but unfortunately some of it's kind of dated, i.e., you know, there are some stinkers in amongst those episodes too, most notably the homeless dude who lived in the sewers and trained all the kids and had his gators. That was not
what?
A good episode. Okay, I honestly have not seen that episode.
Oh, man. Yeah, you might want to skip over that one. There were some not great episodes of that show. And
Unlimited is impressive just because when you look through that season, and because like what you remember from Justice League Unlimited, you then look back and you're like, that was all one season. And you're like, holy crap. Because there's just like, they're just hitting it out of the park, like episode after episode.
Yeah, the stuff with Flash too was amazing, especially how they used his powers. They had a couple of instances. I liked the alternate World War II where Flash, they go like, okay, you know, which way is America? And they just point and he just runs along the entire ocean to warn the Americans about the impending attack. And then another example was the episode where Luther is taunting Flash and tells him, you know, you can't hurt me, et cetera, et cetera. And Flash runs off, and Luther keeps taunting him because he thinks he's running away. And in all actuality, Flash is actually running the entire length of planet Earth to gain enough speed to punch Luthor really, really hard.
So good.
I really liked that. Like, there was a lot of those. And then, you know, Superman finally letting loose against Darkseid.
Oh, that speech is like prime Superman.
Yeah, where he finally says, you know, I don't have to hold back against you. That was great. Also taken a bit from the comics, but still fantastic. Just, that was such a good show. And that's not to say, like, I'm trying really hard not to harp on the movies, but I don't know if any of them have done, like, a singular as good a job. One of the only examples I'd say is the best Wonder Woman movie so far, and to be blunt, I seriously doubt the live-action one's going to equal it. The animated Wonder Woman movie is one of the high points of the individual films as well, because, I mean, everybody talks about how hard it is. Oh, we can't establish female heroes, and that's what DC's kind of said all along. Well, your animated shows did a better job of it than, you know, your live-action stuff ever has, probably for anybody else, too. I mean, it was just a good movie. And so, I mean, they've had some great hits there, but I feel like they haven't hit the same note that Justice League Unlimited was able to. And there's some good stuff in here. I really like Flashpoint Paradox.
Yep.
You mentioned Dark Knight Returns.
But I mean, Under the Red Hood.
Under the Red Hood's good. It's like the ultimate comfort food for me. Like, if I'm ever feeling bad, I just put on one of those DC animated movies. Because, like, I love all of them.
You know what? The only one I didn't like, and I'm going against the grain here, is I didn't like Wonder Woman.
Oh?
And I feel like kind of like an asshole. But then again, I watched New Frontier. I like some of the ideas in that one, but I found it kind of boring overall.
I didn't love Superman Unbound. I didn't like that one.
That one was boring as shit. Yeah.
Superman versus the Elite was a much better sort of individual.
Yeah, that one was interesting. I liked that one a lot.
That was solid. Superman Unbound should have been better. It's based on some half-decent stories, but it just didn't necessarily. Same with All-Star Superman. Should have been much better because the books it's based off of were fantastic, but it just kind of fell flat. For me, the two that stand out, I really didn't like Superman Doomsday.
It should have been different.
Yeah, it should have been really good. I don't know. And then the other one for me, surprisingly, was, I mentioned it earlier, Justice League War.
Oh, wow, really? You didn't like that one?
Did not like it because the tone felt really, it didn't feel like it matched the characters.
To be fair, I haven't watched that movie sober, so I don't know.
I mean, my biggest issue was tone. And it's funny because, I mean, it's not that I dislike a darker tone or anything like that. I'm fine with it. I mean, they had death and everything in Flashpoint Paradox. Yeah. They have quite a bit of death and violence in Gods and Monsters, and it was fantastic. And I don't care that it was an alternate universe, but I mean, there was something about War that fell flat, and the whole, like, you know, calling Wonder Woman a bitch, that kind of thing. It seemed out of place at the time. Like, that's what I mean. The tone seemed a bit all over the place. I don't know. There was something about it versus the other movies that just seemed so much tighter.
I really like the movie with all the shorts in it, and I really wish they would make some of those shorts into, like, a full
Emerald
film.
Knights from Green Lantern, or?
No. I'm talking about the one that has, like, it has the Jonah Hex one, the Spectre one. It starts with, like, a Shazam short film.
Oh, that one.
Green Arrow short film. Like, they all were really cool looking, and they all have, like, really different, distinct styles to them.
I think Jonah Hex, if they did a separate Jonah Hex movie, if they did it right, I think it could be really, really good.
But the live action was so good. Oh, wait, never mind.
And I also liked I liked the Spectre short for sure.
Yeah, the Spectre short is amazing.
Again, also better than the film.
What do you mean Spectre film?
The Spectre film. Yeah. What? Anyway.
Anyway, looking back at the DC animated movies, I didn't much care for Batman Year One. It bored the shit out of me.
Interesting. I actually enjoyed it, especially as an adaptation. It was fateful without, I don't know,
I did like Batman Dark Knight 1 and 2. I love the fact that RoboCop is Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked Throne of Atlantis. I think they made Aquaman not look stupid.
I didn't like Throne of Atlantis that much. I thought that was one of the weaker ones, to be honest with you.
I'll say this. I mean, I like the Justice League version of Aquaman. And if anyone remembers his sort of origin story, because he's got the hook on the arm, I really liked that he had the choice between saving his son and he was chained up or cutting his arm off, and he cuts his arm off. They kind of did a good job of making him seem like a badass. I don't know. I liked that.
Under the Red Hood's probably my favorite.
Under the Red Hood's really good.
Because Jensen Eccles was an amazing Jason Todd. And I think it was Bruce Green played Batman in that one. I think that was the name of the actor. Liked his Batman. Actually, let's talk about some of the voices they got for some of these movies. Some that worked, some that didn't. Under the Red Hood had John DiMaggio as the Joker. Love that performance.
Yeah. I just liked that at least he tried to do, you know, I mentioned this, my biggest voice acting negative is going to be everybody who they force into the, hey, you know, I want you to sound like Mark Hamill role. I'm just not a fan of that, you know. Just let them do their own thing. And that's why I liked John DiMaggio. They let him do his own thing. And whether you like him or hate him, hey, at least, you know, he actually tried something different. I think if he had done another Hamill impression, the movie would have just kind of fallen flat.
Oh, yeah. One that I liked, this one came out of Son of Batman. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's on Criminal Minds, I think it is. He played Deathstroke. He was also on Dharma and Greg. He was the guy that played Greg.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. I thought that was a really good performance. And the kid that got to play Damien, I was really impressed with that.
Yeah.
I honestly thought he did a good job. I was expecting some squeaky motherfucker, and I didn't get that. They also had Morena Baccarin as Talia. I liked that. There wasn't a lot of negative things to say about that. And this is sort of because I like following this guy through everything that he does. The guy that played Man-Bat / Dr. Kirk Langstrom is Xander Berkeley. I like him because I first saw him in 24 as the director of CTU, and when he dies in season 2, I've just kind of followed his career ever since. He was also the dad that got killed in Terminator 2.
That scene haunted me forever.
You know, we're talking about the voice acting and stuff of these movies. Another one I'll mention is I wish so badly they would get him back, but David Warner as Ra's al Ghul is the absolute perfect voice ever. And anytime they cast anyone else as Ra's al Ghul, I get a little sad.
There was
anyone remember?
I do, actually. I'm actually a big fan of David Warner's work. There's another guy. I forgot to mention this because I think he's in the Justice League stuff. It was Jeffrey Combs as The Question.
Yeah. Oh, The Question was The Question and his work with the Huntress in that series, their relationship. Same with the relationship between Solomon Grundy and Hawkgirl.
Yeah.
Were two, like, kind of like quiet character relationship moments that worked really, really well in the series. It was really good. I mean, yeah, I'm going back and reminiscing about Justice League Unlimited again. We're talking about Solid. One of the animated films I thought was solid, but should have been way better than solid, was Justice League Doom.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Tower of Babel is a fantastic Mark Waid story.
Yeah.
And they made some baffling changes to it. I mean, having Vandal Savage as the main bad guy instead of Ra's al Ghul just didn't necessarily make sense. Like, Ra's al Ghul had an actual reason for wanting to, you know, cause damage to the Earth and that kind of thing. In his case, you know, it was conservation, that sort of thing. With Vandal Savage, he's just, you know, evil. And even one of the villains at one point says, you know, why are we following this guy? He's basically just going to blow up the planet just because. Like, and yeah, that kind of fell flat. That was an odd decision to change the main villain. I don't know. Would have worked better with Ra's.
I don't know. I kind of like the Vandal Savage because he is fucking just, I'm crazy. But that was one of the ones that I really liked. And you're right, though. I think it could have been a little bit better. But one I enjoyed unexpectedly, tremendously, was Superman versus the Elite.
Yeah.
That one was really damn cool. Like, there's all these guys trying to kick Superman's ass. And they're like, well, I'm actually going to stop bad guys. You just keep putting them in jail. Maybe we need to do something a little bit more extreme. And then when he lobotomizes or takes away that guy's powers by shooting his heat vision through his eye,
ooh,
I'm like, oh, my God, I never even thought about that.
It was a great, well, I mean, it's based on a fantastic book. It was based on What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, and the American Way. And yeah, just that was a Joe Kelly Superman book. And it's a very loose sort of version of it. But yeah, it worked really well. And good voice casting, especially versus each member of the Elite, who I can't remember who voiced what in that. And my cat is curled up on my mouse, so I can't look it up. Nor can I look up what the hell I was confusing the Spectre live action with. So I don't know.
Okay, so I guess we're starting to kind of wrap things up here. Now, what's one of the stories I'm surprised it has never been adapted yet is where the fuck is the Black Lantern stuff?
I thought you were actually found a series that was called Where the Fuck Something. And I was thinking, like, upcoming project from DC, Where the Fuck Are the Black Lanterns? Part of that is DC for a while wanted to move away from the old universe, and Blackest Night happened with the old DC universe, whatever you want to call it, the old 52, whatever. Now, of course, if anyone's reading the comics, they've kind of merged continuities, so all of a sudden,
or whatever,
huh?
And that's with the whole Convergence storyline?
Yes. And so because of that, all of a sudden, you know, some of the other adaptations that hadn't happened, Batman, The Killing Joke, are going to happen. So I expect at some point Blackest Night will happen. I think the other obvious one is Red Sun.
Yeah, I'm surprised that hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, I'd be amazed if that's not done. I mean, it surprised me for a while that The Killing Joke was never done. But, of course, now it is actually happening. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's one that I think it'll be expensive to do Blackest Night. I wonder if they'd want to split it into two parts or something like that.
That's what I would do.
The other issue is, I mean, you've got to explain essentially why Batman at the time is gone / believed to be dead. So they might have to do a lead-in of something else. Maybe they'll do, you know, everything with Batman dying from
Battle for the Cowl or whatever.
Well, I was going to suggest, like, whatever the crisis was for that one. There have been so many crises in DC, I actually have trouble keeping them straight now. That's not good.
One of the other ones I'd like to see would have been, actually, yeah, one of the kind of crisis events. The one that involved the Imperilax or whatever the fuck it was, that big world or universe-destroying thing.
You mean the Anti-Monitor?
Yeah.
Original Crisis, that'd be good.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
I'd like Jeff Johns' Green Lantern story where he brought Hal Jordan back. It'd be a good one. That would be when Parallax became like a big sort of force in the comics and that kind of thing. That'd be another one that's good, primed for an adaptation.
One thing that I think they could do, because the actor isn't doing anything right now, so to speak, is if they wanted to make a Constantine, or if they wanted to do a Justice League Dark movie, bring Matt Ryan in to do Constantine. I think a Constantine movie would actually work.
Oh, yeah, it would. Although, like, I think probably because the show didn't do well, they probably won't.
That was such a stupid move on CBS's behalf. Netflix or Hulu should have picked that shit up. But supposedly, the character they've said can appear in Supergirl or The Flash or Arrow.
I hope Arrow picks him up or The Flash picks him up.
I hope so, because I love that performance.
It was a really good performance of Constantine.
It was a good show, but I don't know if Constantine works on a network. I mean, that's been one of DC's problems, is they want to appeal to everybody, and some of their shows don't work on a network. Like, I'm not sure if AMC can do Preacher justice. AMC goes dark, but not as dark as, say, an HBO or something. And I think stuff like that's going to be tough for them. And in terms of animation, yeah, Constantine's one that they've gone darker with the animation. I think that would work really well. Man, a Preacher animated series would be interesting.
That'd be pretty crazy.
I'd like to see a Swamp Thing. I think they could pull that
off. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Swamp Thing has some really good stories, too.
The Alan Moore stuff was amazing. And then more recently, there's been some pretty good stuff as well. So, yeah, the Swamp Thing is one that seems primed.
There is one Elseworlds story I really liked. It was called Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, yeah, that would actually be a pretty good one.
I think that'd be really cool. Or even if they just did it as one of those 5-minute shorts, just to show that world. They're like, hey, Victorian era Batman, isn't this fucking cool?
I think if we're going to go back and do Batman series, No Man's Land would be one.
Yes.
But base it more on the Greg Rucka novel. Versus, because the novel was a lot tighter with a lot less extraneous kind of useless stuff than the comic series was. The comic series resulted in like these massive tomes, which I have.
They probably have to do that just to make it a single thing.
Instead of 18 hours.
I'm surprised they didn't do an adaptation of Nightfall when Dark Knight Rises was coming out, because I think that would have been prime time to do like a Nightfall adaptation.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been a bad idea. Not to mention introduce some people who didn't know him to Bane.
Yeah.
Trying to think if there's anything else I'd want to see out of the DC movies. I'm thinking of all my graphic novels. Is there anything I'd really, 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 really want to see? You know what? I'd like to see them take another shot at Superman Doomsday and actually do it properly. I wanted to see the cyborg Superman. I wanted to see the real... the Eradicator. I wanted to see Doomsday kick the fuck out of the Justice League by putting Booster Gold's head through a car door. I wanted to see that.
I think they could split it into two, and it would be better. Like, do sort of a Doomsday and then do a return of... It doesn't necessarily... Like, the comic is... The comic's not perfect. I mean, it was great for what it was, which was a solid event book. But yeah, just... I don't know.
I would like to see them do something with, like, the JLA, like, the older heroes. Like, I'm thinking more of, like, bring in, like, Sandman and, like, all those, like, Wildcat and those, like, lesser known but still really cool DC characters that we don't hear much from.
We saw Wildcat and Arrow, and then, Jay Garrick is in the upcoming season of The Flash. So, I mean, yeah, they are trying to use those characters again, so that's not a bad idea either. I mean, I think, some of them were briefly in Smallville as well in the last season.
Oh, yeah, that's true, they were, because there's, like, the Hawkman and all that people.
And, like, Dr. Fate showed up and all that.
Oh, Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate would be a great movie, I think. Just to, like, get it out before Marvel's Doctor Strange, which is just a big middle finger. Yeah, we got Dr. Fate.
See, I would love to see them deal more with, like, the supernatural as opposed to the super-powered threats.
Well, yeah, that's why Swamp Thing would be, like, really good.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, like, Swamp Thing's a good one to bridge that gap, too.
So, I don't know. Hopefully DCU are listening. So, I guess, guys, one of the things that the DC Animated Universe also has done, I'm just going to mention this in passing, there's a surprising amount of video games based on all this stuff, which I actually found amazing. There was actually a racing game.
There's quite a few.
It's a Batman Gotham City Racer.
And they're all surprisingly terrible.
The one for
Batman, the animated series on the Sega CD wasn't bad.
Yeah, and there was a Batman, the animated series side-scroller as well, which was pretty solid. Those are good ones. There was terrible ones. The Batman Beyond fighting game.
Yeah.
It was an absolute nightmare.
There's a Batman Beyond fighting game? What?
It's awful. I believe that was on the original PlayStation, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I feel dirty that somebody just typed that up to look it up. I mean, that it was bad.
It was me. I just was the one.
That's one of the worst games I can remember.
I had the cart for the N64, but I'd never played it. But I had it.
So can I just flat out ask everybody a question? Maybe this will be the last question we ask here. But I'm just curious, why do you think DC has done such a good job with the animated shows and they can't seem to translate that to live action?
I think it's because they have enough young people in charge of the animated stuff, enough people that are with the industry who understand it. Who actually give a shit. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, my answer was going to be they have actual comic people doing it.
And they
understand what people want to see. And Marvel does the same thing. Like, they've got a number of people, Joe Quesada and others, and some of the writers who have been involved with comics for years. And then you go to DC, and what's been their most successful stuff? It's Tim and Deanie and people who, again, have been involved in the comic side before. And, yeah, they don't want those people involved with the movies because they all look at comics as this somehow lesser medium.
And also, it seems like the movies, at least so far, as far as DC goes, are, like, hesitant to brace the DC universe as a whole. Like, they're like, we'll take the serious-er parts, and all of the goofy side stuff we'll kind of just push to the side and just, like, make it so that our movie is a single tone instead of, like, a crazy mishmash of a bunch of stuff, like the comics versus.
Yeah, and again, they see comics as a lesser medium. Well, they also see television as a lesser medium. And I've mentioned this on the show a number of times over the years, that the infamous J. Michael Straczynski interviews where he talks about how Warner keeps television, comics, and TV, and movies, all completely separate, and they don't talk to each other because the movie division looks down on everyone else. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you talk about them embracing, the movies don't embrace a lot of the more sort of, whatever you want to call it, hokey, fun, whatever aspects of it. Look at The Flash, and look at how much people absolutely love the first season of that show, and look how batshit insane an awful lot of it is.
Is it allowed to be that way because people aren't paying attention to it on the studio side, like, as much?
Yeah, that's essentially what happened. All they've done really is they give them a list of characters they can't use, and it's all of the major characters for the most part, and just say, go do it. And they go like, okay, I'm pretty sure if anyone involved in the show had actually pitched, well, we're going to use, you know, Gorilla Grodd in the first season, and he's just going to be a telepathic gorilla. We're not going to update it and try to make him, you know, a jive-talking...
jive-talking gorilla.
Guy. No, I was going to say man, like person.
Talking
but...
gorilla.
Man, I think I got my book I need to write.
The jive-talking gorilla, man.
I think I just pitched a much better Flash show than what happened, even though I love this one.
Yeah. I would watch that shit every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, guaranteed.
But yeah, I mean...
Coming up on UPN or whatever the fuck it is, the jive-talking gorilla...
Flash, bad honky.
Oh, tell me he's got a fucking big hat.
Oh man, and a cane. He's got to have a cane. No, anyway,
a good pair of sunglasses on.
So yeah, like Flash, and then to a lesser extent, Arrow have completely embraced a lot of the stuff that I think your movie people would say is silly about the comics universe, but they do it in a way that it's just fun. I mean, yeah, there were not great episodes of The Flash that had some really lame villains, but people just enjoyed the show in the end. There was a sense of fun to it all, and I feel like that's kind of missing, especially from the Zack Snyder stuff. Like, there's no fun to be had in Man of Steel. Let's be honest.
There's no joy whatsoever.
What was the writer who, like, did that interview who was, like, making fun of the Martian Manhunter as a concept and would be like...
That would be Mr. David Goyer, who writes the majority of the adaptations. And really, the more I hear out of Goyer's mouth, the more I think, how much did the Nolans actually write of the Dark Knight series? I'm pretty sure they wrote all of it, and they just let Goyer, like, put his name on it.
He's just so dismissive about everything regarding, like, the non-movies, and like, oh, have you heard of Martian Manhunter? Well, then you haven't had sex. Like, he said, and it was so bad.
And he does not... man, has there ever been an interview where he won't go out of his way to trash the Marvel movies? And like, this is what you're chasing, David. I don't think you want to rip on them too much. Marvel could release a film about a talking chair and a jive-talking gorilla and make $10 billion at this point.
We have to do a Kickstarter for this jive-talking gorilla thing.
I'm just hoping this is phase four of Marvel's plan.
The jive-talking gorilla.
Versus the Punisher,
Versus the Punisher.
No, the giant talking gorilla is the Punisher.
Oh, no. Don't give them ideas.
World's colliding.
Someone just spray painted a skull on its stomach.
All right, that's acceptable.
Oh my god, we're terrible people. Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us here on This Week in Geeks Topic Show. Like I said, guys, sorry for the delay. It's summertime. You'll get over it. So next month on the show, we're going to be talking... about What were we going to
say? MST3K.
Yeah, Mystery Science Theater 3000. And then in for our topic show after that, we decided we're going to do Fallout. So I get basically 2 months to play the Fallout games. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually kind of looking forward to this because it's like Skyrim, but with guns.
I like how you picked two topics in a row that I'd have to do absolutely no research on. I basically live practically in the Fallout universe in my head, although part of that's my Mad Max love.
And yeah, then he keeps I can attest he keeps primed grenades in his pockets, and any children that try to pickpocket end up blowing up.
Oh, I've got a primed grenade in my pants. Would you like to see it?
Would you like to know more?
Yeah.
On that note, guys, so for this week in Geek, we have been
Andrew Roebuck.
Ryan the Uneven Flow. Sorry, I'm still laughing at that.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, Jive Talking Gorilla.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f does that mean? F that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.